Amen. You guys can have a seat. Watch this.
Can you give God a hand for Maya? Come on up here, Brandon and Misty. For those of you who don't know, Brandon and Misty have been a part of our family for a long time, and thanks to you and to them and their prayers, this precious Maya came home to a forever family from where she had been in China and is now at home with them. And they don't live here in our neighborhood anymore, but this is still home. And they wanted to bring her here because she made this profession of faith in Jesus, and she desires to be baptized, and they wanted their church family to share in this. Can you give God a hand for that? And so, Maya, I want to ask you, with everybody here listening, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and if you have, you can say, I have. Fantastic. Then I want to ask you this. Do you desire to do His will in everything, to be who He created you to be? And if you do, you can say, I do.
I do.
Fantastic. Next, I want to ask you, do you desire to be baptized so that everybody here and everybody in the world knows that you belong to Jesus now and forever? And if you do, you can say, I do.
I do.
Amen. Amen. And Maya, remembering this, that when we baptize you, we're remembering that Jesus has washed away all of our sins, and He's come into our hearts and our lives to give us a new life, and you belong to Him forever. And this forever family that you have with Brandon and Misty is also with the family of God, that is a family that will last for all of eternity, and you're His baby. And so, Maya Hope Hudson, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Yeah! That's an awesome smile there, girl. Brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care Maya, who we this day recognize as a member of the family of God. Will you do everything in your power to stand with her, to love her, to strengthen her, to even from a distance support Brandon and Misty as they raise her to be a truly committed follower of Christ? And if you will, it's on the screen, but we ask that you say it from your heart. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that, surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in a way that leads to life eternal. Amen? Amen. Let's give God a hand for that. And I can guarantee you one thing, Maya, and that is from this day forward, Jesus will never, ever let go of you, girl. He's going to make you everything He created you to be. Let's celebrate that together as we stand.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Christ United. Y'all doing all right this morning? Yeah, it's great. It's great to have you guys with us. My name is Steve Kipe. I'm the Connections Pastor here. It is so great. Over the last few weeks, we've been going through this series called Eye Exam, and as part of what we wanted to do, we wanted to kind of change it up with how we kind of intro, so we kind of came up with different pop songs that kind of went along with the messages, so I hope you guys have kind of enjoyed that as we've done that. For those of you who like tweeted and emailed songs in for suggestions, thank you so much. If you haven't been here, and if you've missed any of them, you can go to crisislove.org, you can click on watch, and you can go back and you can see the entire series, everything that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. If you also have our app, you can see them right from the app as well, this whole series that we've been doing called Eye Exam. So as you can see, I've got a friend up here with me today. Man, why are you laughing already? Let me kind of explain my friend here. How many of you guys like going to the mall? Any of you guys like going to the mall? Yeah, okay, yeah, all the middle and high school students, right? Yeah, I like going to the mall, okay? I do. Now, if I'm going to be specific, I really like going to the mall when I have a plan, okay? Whenever I know exactly where I'm going, I can park, I know where to go in the parking lot to go into the one store, get what I need, and then I can roll out. That's how I really like going to the mall. The problem occurs whenever I go to the mall, typically with my wife, and we go in under the false pretenses that we're not going to buy anything, okay? All right, some of you have had that before, right? So, I mean, we actually start walking into the mall and we have a conversation. Some people call them fights. And, you know, we're not going to buy anything, right? We're not going to buy anything, right? And it's so funny because store owners know that some of their best clients actually are walking all through the mall with no intention of ever going inside their store. You know that, right? And they have come up with a trick that I absolutely hate to get us, okay? And they have these mannequins in the window of every store in every area of the mall. Everywhere that there's mannequins. And they get them all dressed up nice. They got the LED lights shining on them real bright. They look all good. Because what they want to happen is they want you to turn and look at the mannequin in the window as you're walking through up and down the mall. Now, this is where the trick comes in. Because they aren't happy enough with you just stopping and staring. Oh, no. No. They want you to be so affected by what the mannequin is wearing that you will stop what you're doing, turn, and actually step inside the store. Because inside the store is so much more, right? Inside the store is like floor after floor of all kinds of clothes. In fact, the mannequin on the outside is just proof that there's a better kingdom on the inside of the store. Right? The mannequin on the outside just shows you that there is a better glory on the inside of the store. Now, in case any of y'all were slow and haven't had your coffee this morning, let me just kind of get to the chase. All right? I get this all the time. So many people ask me, yo, how do you have so much energy doing all the stuff you do? I do a lot of running around with our kids ministry in Big House. I am so blessed to help out with our Crossroads student ministry. I get all to do kind of crazy stuff with them. When we worship, I mean, I'm going crazy back there, hopping up and down. I just absolutely love it. People ask me all the time, how do you have so much energy? And this is really all I can really do the best I can to explain it, is that before there was ever a Dillard's, before there was ever a Macy's, before there was ever an Old Navy or a New Navy or a Gap, there was a God in a garden who reached down and grabbed some dirt and started forming the very first mannequin. And he made that mannequin in his own image, okay? And the only difference between this mannequin and this mannequin is that my owner breathed the breath of life that's inside of me. That's why I get all crazy, and that's why I absolutely love serving God. Maybe I'm trying to do what the psalmist said in Psalm 150 when he said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Okay, I just get all excited about praising God. So I'm a mannequin, and just so you guys know, you are a mannequin, or a womannequin, just so we can be politically correct. All right, so you're a mannequin. Seriously, stop telling people you're a Christian. Start telling people you're a mannequin or a womannequin, okay? Because you do realize you are either attracting or distracting people from the kingdom of God. You know that, right? That's the only two options you have. And see, I want to be a mannequin like Paul. Paul was a real good mannequin. He wrote most of the New Testament. He comes along and he says this. He's like, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. I mean, it takes some swag to say something like that, right? I mean, that is a pretty bold statement. He's basically saying, look, if you just do what I do, say what I say, it will lead you to Christ. So let me ask you something, mannequin to mannequin. Can we say the same thing about you? Can you guys say the same thing about me? If we put a camera on you put a camera on me, if we just say, hey, just follow them around, would it lead people to Christ? Because just understand today is that we are simply mannequins that God wants to put on display. He wants to put you on display in your schools. He wants to put you on display where you work. He wants to put you on display in Walmart. Help me, Father. I mean, he wants to put you on display wherever you go. And not so that people can be attracted to you, but they can see you and be attracted to a kingdom that's bigger than you, to a glory that has transcended you and rearranged and turned some stuff around in your life. That is the point of a mannequin. We are simply on display for God. And so many of us are distracting people from the kingdom of God, because I think we would be pretty surprised at the people in the world today, and maybe even in this room today, that, you know what, they'd rather just kind of walk through the halls of Christianity and through the malls of disbelief, never even wanting to step inside the store to see what God has for them, because they've been distracted by mannequins in the window. Gandhi came along and he said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." You know what that speaks to? That speaks to mannequins who have been distracting rather than attracting people from the kingdom of God. I mean, do you know why this isn't a good mannequin? I mean, it's a good looking mannequin. Who said no? I will throw a microphone at you, all right? And that wasn't a joke. I mean, do you know why this isn't a good mannequin? It looks too much like me. You see, if I was walking in the mall and I would see this, I wouldn't want to go inside that store. I already have what it has on. And that's a huge problem we have in the church today, is that there are so many unbelievers out there looking at believers, people who say, "I'm a Christian, I'm a Jesus follower," and they look at us and they say, "You listen to the same music I listen to. You watch the same things I do. In fact, you send me links to it. You know what? You laugh at the same jokes I laugh at. You treat your spouse worse than I treat mine." See, there's nothing distinctively different about our lives. And I think God is looking for some mannequins in this generation who truly want to reflect the true nature and character of God. But we all have this thing where we have a habit of getting into areas of our lives where we just have so many issues that we end up distracting people rather than attracting people to the kingdom of God. So that kind of leads us to our question today, is that what is it that causes something that was created to attract start to distract? What is it that does that? And just before we get there, let me just throw this out there. Is that something we all need to understand? I'm not trying to offend anybody. Maybe, okay? Is that mannequins are dummies, okay? Mannequins are dummies, all right? Now, I know some of you in here today, you are really, really smart, and you've been to all kinds of colleges, and you have more degrees than a thermometer. You know, I get all of that, all right? But listen, a mannequin is a dummy, okay? Now, here, there's nothing wrong with being a dummy, because even a dummy can be used, all right? But if you can't be used, then you're useless, all right? Watch it again, maybe get it tomorrow, okay? Yeah, so, and the scariest thing about a dummy is that a dummy who forgot who put them together. The scariest thing about a dummy is whenever we go out there and we start doing our thing, we think our will is greater than God's will, and we start doing our own thing. That is a scary thing. I mean, just being honest, if this dummy started moving right here in this service, someone else would have to finish the message, because I would be Seacrest out of here, all right? I mean, it is scary when a dummy moves on its own. And it's scary when you and I get in these seasons of our lives where we are being dummies and we are moving all on our own, just kind of doing what we want to do no matter what. And our will is greater than God's will. That is a scary situation to be. So what is it that causes something that was created to attract start to distract? And if you have a Bible and you're going to follow along, and we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3 today. And in Genesis chapter 3, we're introduced to two dummies, Adam and Eve. And we're looking at two dummies in a way that they messed up the entire world, y'all. I mean, they did. I mean, do you realize this actually really messes me up, because their only job was to walk around naked and eat fruit, and they messed that up, okay? I mean, seriously, they messed that up. Because in Genesis chapter 3, everything gets all crazy. In Genesis chapter 3. If you want to know why there's so much sin in the world today, you need to go back and read Genesis chapter 3. If you want to know why there's so much chaos today, you need to go back and read Genesis chapter 3. If you want to know why you and I are so cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs today, it is because of Genesis chapter 3. All right? Because Genesis chapter 3, everything goes crazy and everything gets all messed up. Because we have two dummies who decided to do Burger King and have it their way. And because of that, we are still reaping the consequences of their actions. And you see, for some of us in here today, we're like, oh, I'm just kind of doing my own thing and it's not hurting anybody. Hold on. You better back that thing up to Genesis chapter 3, because it is the perfect example that when you go and you do your own thing, you do whatever it is you want to do, your will, not God's will, that it affects other people. Whether you think it does or not, we are still reaping the consequences of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. And Genesis chapter 3, I think, is probably one of the most important books of the entire Bible. In fact, one theologian says this, that Genesis chapter 3 is the pivot on which the whole Bible turns, shifts, changes directions. Because Genesis chapter 3 starts like this. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He," the serpent, "said to the woman." Is that what your Bible says? That's what my Bible says. "The serpent said to the woman." That doesn't wig y'all out. "The snake talked." And then blows my mind, and Eve talks back to him. Now, I'm a logical guy. I'm just a logical guy. So my first question would be, hello, Eve, why would you talk back to a talking snake? I mean, that just messes me up. I mean, I don't know if any of y'all have had, you know, conversations with God before and be like, man, there's so many people in the world that are afraid of snakes. Why didn't you just, you know, put me in the garden, right? Everything would have been good, you know, because I'm afraid of snakes. There's so many of us, we are scared of snakes. We don't talk to hissing snakes. We don't talk to walking snakes. We don't talk to rattlesnakes. So, I mean, it would have been so much better if we would have been in the garden, because we would have never talked to the snake, right? But here's the thing. I know you and I probably wouldn't have talked to the snake, but the snake wouldn't have talked to you either. See, we gotta read the text. The text said that the serpent was more crafty. Another version says more cunning. It leads to the snake being smart and the snake being very clever. So here's the thing. If the snake is smart and if the snake is clever and he knows you're afraid of him, hello, he ain't gonna talk to you. So then we have to ask ourselves, why in the world does he tempt Eve with conversation? Well, why does he do that? And to figure that out, we got to back up just a little bit farther, okay? See, Genesis 1, God creates everything, lightness, darkness, you know, the land, the water. He, you know, creates everything, and everything was sure enough good. And then Genesis chapter 2, he reaches down in the dirt, creates Adam out of dirt. So there's Adam in the garden of absolutely alone by himself. And then God gives Adam a job. Okay? Notice, he gives Adam a job before he gives him a woman. No lady said amen. Okay, let me say it again. He gave Adam a job before he gave Adam a woman. There we go. All right, write that one down. All right. So, I mean, you got to imagine, this took a lot of time. He's got to walk around naming all of the animals in the animal kingdom, and he's just hearing all these kind of crazy bird and you know, orangutan. I mean, it just gets all kinds of crazy. There's all kinds of animals. This took a lot of time to name all the animals in the animal kingdom. And then I think it's just one of the funniest lines in all of Scripture. As he's doing all this, interacting with all these animals, God looks down and just says, well, it's not good for man to be alone. I have got to help a brother out, right? So some of you know the story. He puts Adam in a deep sleep, cuts him open, takes out a rib. Ladies, don't get it messed up. We had the first C-section. My wife's a nurse. Don't act like I'm not paying for that one later, okay? All right. So he creates Eve out of the rib from Adam, and then just try and put your mind in the mindset of Adam. You have never seen another human ever, and you've been used to communicating on an animal level. You wake up, and there is a gift named Eve. And she's like, hello, how are you? Right? I mean, he's just like, he don't even know what to say, right? I say all that to kind of get to the point of, ladies, you were created in the context of conversation. You see, there was never a time where you were on this earth. We were walking around talking to hippos and giraffes. You never had that. You were created in the context of conversation, because if there is one thing you ladies love to do more than shopping, it is. And see, none of the husbands said amen because they didn't want to get elbowed, okay? I mean, seriously, ladies, you love to talk. You go to the bathroom just to talk. I mean, you talk all the time. I think, what do scientists say, that women use like 20,000 words a day and guys use like 7,000 words? If you all want to do an experiment, when you leave church today, just ask a dude, just ask a guy, be like, yo, how was church today? He's going to be like, oh, it's good. It's awesome. You ask a lady? Well, before I even went to church today, I really felt I was in a season of my life where God was really, I didn't want to know all that. Just how was church today, right? So y'all just love to talk. So Satan looks over the situation and he's like, if I go to Adam, he might say no. But I know somebody that he can't say no to. So he offers Eve conversation. And before we, you know, laugh at the girls, guys, we're taught that Adam doesn't fall until Eve offers him the fruit. And we know that when Eve offers him the fruit, she's naked. Yeah. So Eve just comes up and just like, baby. He's like, oh. I mean, see, we go to heaven, just ask Adam. He doesn't know if it was an apple or orange. He has no idea what he ate, right? And this, I'm telling you, this is the same serpent that we see in the New Testament tempt Jesus after Jesus fasted, which means he didn't eat for 40 days. This is the same serpent that tempts Jesus after fasting for 40 days. Hey, I know you're hungry, as if he needed to say that. It says, hey, why don't you turn these stones into cornbread, right? You see, this gives us insight into Satan's methods. I can tell what you like by what the enemy offers you. You can tell what I like by what the enemy offers me. And isn't it kind of funny whenever you look over all the situation and you look like here we are thousands of years later. And isn't it kind of funny that ladies, you still talk to snakes? You date snakes? Sometimes you marry them? And guys, we still struggle over images of a naked woman. And it's all because there was a serpent that was so clever, so cunning, he knew exactly what to put in their way. And I think it's kind of crazy. He only talks to Eve twice. I mean, when you read Genesis chapter 3, he never has a conversation with Adam. He only talks to Eve and only talks to her twice, and that's enough to mess up the entire world. And he comes up to her and he asks her a question. He says, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And when I first read that, I thought maybe he was trying to get Eve to doubt God's word. And I don't think that was the case, because as soon as he asked this, Eve fires right back. She's like, I know what God said. God said we can have any tree in the garden. We just can't have this one. Thank you very much. You know, she's like, I know the word. So, I mean, she answers right back Adam. So I don't think he was trying to get her to doubt God's word. I think he was trying to get her to mock God's word. So instead of like, did God really, you know, I think it was more of a, have you ever had a friend do something so stupid, you're just like, really? I think that's what he's trying to do. Really? Is God really saying you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Really? You see, I think he's trying to get us to mock God's word, because how many of you know there's power in mocking? Okay, maybe you don't know this, okay? Good example, a few years ago, I remember the political elections, and I was watching at the time Governor Sarah Palin debate Joe Biden, you know, and I was listening to her, and I couldn't help but chuckle and laugh. And even though I was agreeing with just like about everything she was saying, and I was like, what is wrong with me? You know, I got some serious issues here. And it's just, and then I realized what it was. You see, every time I saw her, I didn't see Sarah Palin. All I could see was Tina Fey from Saturday Night Live. Right? And because she was mocked, I mistrust her message. You see, Satan's been doing Saturday Night Live way before there ever was a show, because he's trying to get us to mock God's word. I mean, how do you know that's the way it is for us today? It's not about a tree. It's all about God's word. Really? God says you got to forgive 70 times 7? Really? Your father's never been in your life. That person abused you. Real? Oh, slap this cheek. Go ahead and slap that one. Really? Is that really what God's telling you to do? Did God really say you're supposed to wait till you get married to have sex? Really? God's restricting you. And you see what he does? The enemy tries to get you to forget about God's blessings by focusing on God's boundaries. Here they are in the garden with all these trees that they didn't even plant. And their focus is on the one tree that they cannot touch. I mean, isn't that kind of crazy? All these trees, and their focus is on the one. And that's the way it is for you and me today, isn't it? We get so crazy. We're just like, oh man, no, God's boundaries, he's restricting me. And we have to realize is that God creates boundaries to protect you, not prohibit you. See, everything God created, he created boundaries. And boundaries are needed. You know, he separated lightness from darkness. Lightness went one way, darkness went the other. He made land and sea. Land went one way, sea went the other. Everything God created was absolutely fine with God's boundaries except us. You realize that? I mean, all these trees we didn't even plant, why can't I have it? I want to touch it. Why come I can't touch it? We're the only ones that question God's boundaries. And boundaries are needed. Can you imagine playing basketball with no boundaries? You're out of bounds. No, I'm not. There's no line there. Can you imagine driving with no boundaries? Some of you do, right? There's no line there. I mean, boundaries are there to protect us, not prohibit us. But yet we get so focused on the boundary that we forget about God's blessings. And the boundaries are there to protect us, not prohibit us. And we got to realize is that God's more concerned with your obedience than he is your opinion. You see, so often we kind of get in these situations where we're like, well, God, do you know what they did to me? All right, I know you said forgive, but do you know what they did to me? That means I have the right to do this, right? No. And all these times we try and justify the stuff that we want to do because, you know what? Oh, we want God to have our opinion because it's different for us, right? For us, it's different because, oh, God doesn't understand this situation. God, look, oh, God, I know you said that we're supposed to wait till we get married to have sex, but you know what? We love each other. We have the same initials and we have a song. I mean, it's love, God. And God is more concerned with our obedience more than he is our opinion. And as a dad, I totally get this. You know, telling my daughters, go clean your room. And they're like, why? I don't want to. How come I have to? I brought you in this world. I'll take you out, right? It's just, look, I'm your father. You know, we're the parents. You just listen. We don't need an explanation. You just do what we've told you to do. And God's saying, I don't want your opinion. I love you. I just want you to be obedient to my word. But we have this I problem, don't we? It's all about I. We all have all these issues going on. It's like, I just want to do what I want to do. And it is a huge I problem. In fact, sin is all about an I problem. All of sin, no matter what it is an I problem. In fact, let's look at the word sin. Whoa, what's in the middle of sin? I. All of the sin in the world can be traced directly back to an I problem. Divorce, I problem. Injustice, I problem. Rape, I problem. All because somebody said, I want to do what I want to do. It's an I problem. And in fact, the best definition we have for sinning is that whenever I'm in the center of my world, I sin. Because it's an I problem and we all have issues. I love y'all, but it doesn't matter how spiritual you are. You may have floated in here today and had manna for breakfast. We all have a serious I problem. All right, we have eye problems. And honestly, what it comes down to, it's really about pride. You know, when we're just like, oh, my will is greater than God's will. You know better than God. You want to give him your opinion. It's really about pride. Let's look at pride. What's in the center of pride? I mean, we could spend some time in here today saying, man, there's a huge eye problem when it comes to technology, especially when it comes to pride. Oh, I want to see how many people like this. I want to see how many people commented on that. How many followers do I have? Oh, 367. Woo! Yeah, I mean, it is a serious eye problem we have. And all the time we're like, oh, God, I really want to hear from you. No, not really. We're on our iPhone. God, will you just speak to me? I want to hear what you have to say. Now you're on iTunes. God, I really want to feel your presence. Now you're on your iPad. And isn't it funny that all their products start with the letter I, and their logo just happens to be an apple with a bite out of it? And it all started in the garden. Because whenever Adam and Eve took a bite of the fruit, the first eye product was created. Because they just wanted to do what they wanted to do. And then once they do that, they end up in a huge mess. And I often thought maybe when they first took a bite of it, it was kind of disgusting. And they're like, oh, you know, and they spit it out. But no, it wasn't disgusting. I bet it tasted pretty good. And some of us in here today, we know this, and maybe we're in a season of our lives right now where we are caught up in a sin right now, and we know it, but you know what? It tastes so good until the presence of God comes back into our lives, right? And then all of a sudden, there's the guilt, and there's the shame. And you got to see this, is that wherever there is an I, there will always be a lie. Wherever you are so focused on you, and it's all about I, there will always be a lie. In fact, let's look at the word lie. What's in the middle of lie? I. In fact, this is what Jesus says in John chapter 8 when he's talking about Satan and how he likes to talk. He says he was a murderer from the very beginning, not holding on to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he speaks lies, he speaks his native language. So all he knows how to do is tell lies. And he goes and he tempts Eve with conversation. Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? And she's like, no, God said we can have from any tree. We just can't have the one in the middle. Because if we do, we'll die. And here comes the lie. You will not certainly die. And there's the lie. And he continues and he says, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. So she takes from the fruit and then she gives it to Adam. And now they are in a huge mess. And now they don't even run to a God that they used to run to. Now they run away from him. God's presence comes back into their lives. And all of a sudden they're running and hiding from God. And God looks down. He's like, Adam, what in the world have you done? He was like, well, it wasn't me. The woman that you put here with me, she's the one. She's the one who gave it to me. She's the one. Eve, what did you do? God, it wasn't me. It was the serpent. You want to talk about having a serious eye problem? You have a serious eye problem, and you are in a huge mess when you're always blaming other people for your actions. And I'm not saying at all that horrible things haven't been done to you in your life. God bless you. But the fact of the matter is, what someone does to you does not give you an excuse to return the same way. We have control over our actions. And we always say, oh, it was my parents. It was my friend. It was my spouse. It was fill in the blank. But you know you're in a mess. And you've got a serious eye problem if you're always blaming other people for your actions. But sometimes being in a mess is the best place you can be. Because wherever there is a mess, God will always bring a message. God looks down at Adam and Eve, knowing that they have messed up. And he just says to them, if you will just admit that you did wrong, admit that you can't live without me, I'm going to come with grace, I'm going to come with mercy, and it's, you know what, I know you messed up in a garden, but I'm going to send my son in another garden, and it's going to pave the way to make everything all right later on, okay? He's like, Adam, I know you're going to die with your bride, but I'm going to die for my bride. Adam, I get the fact that, you know what, you guys took fruit from a tree that brings eternal death. But I'm going to bring my son on another tree that you can eat from freely, and it brings eternal life. Because you see, we all have these issues, and God cannot come in and do what he wants to do as long as we have an eye problem. As long as we are so focused on us, it's just about I. And it's so funny, the guy who kind of got us started on this, Paul, as he says, you know what? Follow me as I follow Christ. Remember that? Almost towards the end of his life, he also said this. He said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. See, so many people, maybe even in here today, will say, you know what? I can't go to God yet because I've got issues. I am so messed up right now. Once I fix me, then I'll start coming back to church and start letting God do some stuff. That's never been how it's supposed to be. He's like, you come to me and I'll teach you how to fix you over time. And we'll start to heal. And Paul's just saying, you know what? I'm a sinner. the worst kind. But yet, if you still follow me and do what I do, it will lead you and others to Christ. And I think God is looking for some mannequins and some more mannequins in this generation who will reflect his character and his who he is and the love that he has for the world. If we would stop distracting people from the kingdom of God, if we would stop being so focused on I, you know what the message is? The message is that the I has got to die. Whatever it is for you, whatever addiction, whatever problems, whatever it is for you, you've got to let the I die. And you know what would happen if we allowed that to happen, if we let the I die? I think I know what would happen. See, right here, the I is just, it's a huge problem. It's right there by our heart, which is really what God wants. So I think, you know, if we were to let the I die, and we were to say, God, I can't do this without you. I believe in your son. Will you come into my life and change me, rearrange me? Will you do some turning around in my life? Because I can't do it on my own, because right now I'm in the center of my world. If we let the I die and we replace it with he, and some of us in here today, we've never done that before. We thought we had to get it right first. It's like, no. No, you put he first over you. And if we do that, he's going to be able to start rearranging some things in our lives. You know that? See, he's going to start being able to tell you, man, you need to break up. You need to go here. You need to not go there. He's going to start rearranging some things in your life. And we can go from people who have issues and start living as we serve a God who saves us. Because that's exactly what he does. When we let the I die and we allow him to come in and rearrange some stuff in our lives, he saves us. And it doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means that we're mannequins in the window that are attracting people to his kingdom. Not to us, but to something greater than us. To something that changes us. And I don't know what it is for you in here today. I don't know what eye problems, what issues you guys have in here today. But the praise band is going to lead us in a song. And I just want to challenge everybody in here today. Don't get up and run out the doors. Allow God's Holy Spirit to come and just move however it is he wants to move in you. If you need to cry, cry. If you need to come down before this altar and pray, do it. If you need to stand, stand. Put your hands up. Don't allow anything from getting in the way of letting your eye die. Because it's the best decision you can ever make. And we can leave as a generation of Christians that people would say, you know what? That's different. They live in a different way than I do. And you know what? I don't know if I'm all in, but I got some questions. They could look at us and it's just how we treat our spouses. Man, how do you do that? They can look at us with how we're generous. Man, how do you do that? They can look at us and, man, I know you used to struggle with this. How are you overcoming that? We have the power available to us to change the world. But what kind of mannequin are you going to be? What kind of mannequin am I going to be? Are we going to be one that has an eye problem and we distract people? Or are we going to let the eye die today and let a world not be attracted to us, but be attracted to a God that can change the world? Guys, the whole point of this eye exam series was, let's see ourselves more clearly. Let's start living the way God has called us to live. Let us be a reflection of him in this world that desperately needs it. What would your homes look like? How would it be better if just we did this? Our communities, our workplaces, what would that look like? Before we kind of head out today, we absolutely love celebrating life change. It's why we do everything we do, is to build relationships with God and others. And if you are in here today, and today was your first step, that you decided, today is my day. I have let the I die today, and I'm going to allow God to come in and rearrange some stuff in my life. We want to know, and we just want to celebrate it with you. We want to get all kinds of crazy in here and clap and just cheer for you. Is there anybody over here today is your day? Anybody here up top? Anybody? Yeah? Woo! Woo! Anybody up top over there? No, over here, this section up top? Up top in the middle, anybody? Today's your day. You let the I die today. Anybody down here in the middle? No? Yeah? Woo. It's my kids. Anybody up top over here? Yeah, right there. Yeah, right. Woo! Anybody over here? Top, up top over there? Anybody? Anybody down here? This side over here? Anybody? Today is your day. You're letting the eye die today. No, there was like three, four. There was like five brand new brothers and sisters of Christ. Can we give God a hand for that? Woo! Every single, if you, for whatever reason, you were uncomfortable and you didn't want to put your hand up, if you did, or if today is your day and you just didn't want to, please, 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 this is so important. Before you leave today, head over there to the prayer booth. We just want to get to know you a little bit. We want to give you some materials to help you get started. We want to pray with you. It is so important for your next step to head over there because you do, this is a beautiful journey and you are not going to be alone in it. So please head over there before you head out today. God is so good. At the end of the service, we like just to raise our hands and just ask God to bless us. We invite you to do so if you would like that. Heavenly Father, God, please forgive us for all the issues we have and not wanting to let the eye die. God, thank you so much for sending your son who let his eye die for us so we can have a relationship with you. God, with what you have spoken in here today, this hits all of us on different levels. God, just give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. We thank you and love you. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Pastor Jeff will be back next week with a brand new series. See you next week.